with you and turn to the book of Jonah. The book of Jonah. In the spirit of the holidays, I have a short-ish message. It's on the shorter side, so because I know there's a lot of chanting, a lot of liturgy, a lot of special things for the holidays. So what I wanted to do, though, is speak about a very traditional thing that we talk about typically during the day service of Yom Kippur, or really the afternoon or the Mincha service, and we talk about the book of Jonah. Jonah was, and we don't always talk about Jonah or who Jonah was, what Jonah was about, but Jonah, it's a short book, it's like four chapters, I think. He was a Jewish prophet of God in the northern kingdom of Israel. Remember, the prophets, they were going to the different divided kingdom sects. There was the northern 10 tribes, there was the southern 2 tribes. Jonah was a prophet of the northern kingdom of Israel, and he lived in the 8th century BCE. That would be about 800 to 750 BCE. He lived at the time concurrently, contemporarily with Hosea and Amos, two other prophets that we have talked about, and two other books of the Bible, Hosea and Amos. But this is Jonah. Let's start with the first 3 verses and set up what we're going to be talking about today with Jonah chapter 1, verses 1, 2, and 3. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me." Verse 3, but Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish. From the presence of the Lord, he went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. There he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. If you know anything about geography, if you've studied biblical geography or maps or anything, where he went was the exact opposite direction from where God told him to go. 180 degrees, exact opposite direction. Why? The questions today for us, as we go through this quickly, the book of Jonah, is why did Jonah not want to go to Nineveh and preach against them? And we're going to talk about that. And why Jonah is specifically talked about on Yom Kippur Day, the day of Yom Kippur. So, before we look at Jonah's attitude, and he certainly had an attitude with all this going the other direction, we need to first look at God's attitude, or better yet, God's attributes. Who is God? Why would he be telling Jonah to go someplace and do something? Many people have this idea about God, both Jewish and not Jewish, that the God of the Tanakh, or as it's said in Christianity, the Old Testament, is a God of wrath. He's upset. He will smite us. He will throw down the lightning bolt at the sign of us not following him. Kind of like a dictator, just really harsh and angry God, a God of wrath. And then people will say, the common perception is that God of the New Testament is a God of grace, completely different, as if it's almost like two different people. But the truth is, God was, God is, and God will be who he is. And unless we study the Bible, unless we read the Bible regularly, unless we do things like listen to things about the book of Jonah or the book of Hebrews, which we're going through on Shabbat, we don't understand who God is. We don't understand. Because if we don't read our Bibles and we understand what the Bible says God is, we're going to go out there and we're going to be told who God is from the media. We're going to be told who God is from books and TV and all these things that they don't really know God. They don't really understand his attributes. And so we study to understand his unique characteristics. So let's turn to Exodus chapter 34. Exodus chapter 34, we're going to start in verse 6 in just a minute here. Now, Exodus 34, again, it's in the Torah, second book of the Torah. And in this passage of Torah, this is a kind of a pivotal moment for the nation of Israel. They've come out of Egypt. And unfortunately, it's a low point in our people's history because there was this little thing that happened a couple of chapters before Exodus 34 called the Golden Calf Incident. And it was one of the bleakest, most upsetting parts to God of our history as a Jewish people, because The Jewish people sinned by making a golden calf, worshiping the golden calf. They took all of the gold that they had taken out of Egypt. They fashioned this calf. I love the I always love the wording in the Bible where it says Aaron just threw the gold and silver in and poof, out came the calf, right? So it's kind of funny, but it was a dark, really low point in our people's history. So because of the sin of the golden calf, there was the breaking of the first two tablets, and God fashions two other tablets with the Ten Commandments on it. But it's in the aftermath of chapter 32 that we come up to understand who God is in chapter 34. Now listen to this. And these are commonly called the 13 attributes of God. Exodus 34, 6 and 7. The Lord passed before him, Moses, and proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, chesed, and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. This is an amazing two verses because it tells us who God is. Not who people say God is, but who God truly is. And if you listen to these words and you read these words, we're talking about this kind of stuff during Yom Kippur. God, have mercy upon us. Be compassionate. You know, Avinu Malkeinu, our Father and our King, grant us compassion and mercy and save us. These are God's attributes. At one of the lowest points of Israel's history because of sin, God reacts with mercy, saying that he's slow to anger and he's abounding in steadfast love. Now turn with me to the book of 1 John, chapter 4, verse 8. 1 John 4, 8. Now, of course, it doesn't mean that God excuses sin. He will not, as the last part say, he will not clear the guilty. That's why it's so important to come to God with the right heart, with a contriteness of heart and spirit, and really confess our sins and ask for forgiveness for God because he is merciful. But yet he does, let's say, punish people based on their own actions of coming away, going away from him. He doesn't excuse sin, but he's full of steadfast love. 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. So when we talk about a harsh God who wants to smite us for every time we step out of line, that's not who God is. And when we think about people out there that call themselves believers and they are just angry all the time or they're judgmental all the time. Now listen, sin is sin, but we have to have that chesed, that loving kindness of God. This is who God is. And then if we're followers of Yeshua, disciples of Yeshua, we need to walk after God. We need to walk after that chesed and display it in our lives. So with that in mind about God, let's turn back to Jonah. Let's look at this people that he got to go to. They were the people of Nineveh. Now, Nineveh was a very large city at the time, well over 100,000 people, which in those days was a big, big city. It was the capital city of Assyria. Much to say about Assyria, but we won't. But, you know, about 50 or 100 years later, very soon after the book of Jonah, very soon after Jonah went and preached to Nineveh, the capital of Assyria, what happened? The Assyrians came in and took the northern tribes into exile. Now, whether Jonah knew that or not prophetically, we don't know. But Nineveh, if we look at the city, if we look at the people, the Assyrians, who were they? They were Gentile. They were pagan. They were not inherently godly. In fact, they were very evil in a lot of their practices and ways. They didn't have Torah. They didn't have an understanding of God. And God told Jonah to go to Nineveh and preach to them about their wickedness. You are being wicked. You are not following your Creator. And he did that. Let's look at, though, the second verse again of Jonah chapter 1. Jonah 1, 2. God says specifically to Jonah, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me. You know, many times God, we say, God, where are you when there's evil going on? When there's sin going on? When there's people persecuting other people, hurting other people, different things going on. Well, we know throughout history, God is slow to anger, and God gives people a lot of chances. Now, it is said that those 40 years in the wilderness, part of the reason there was 40 years in the wilderness and not 14 days, which is what the journey would have taken them, was to give the people around Israel time to repent. And God does this all the time. He is slow to anger. People think, oh, well, God's just excusing iniquity. No, he's not. He's waiting for people to turn back from their wickedness. He's giving them chance after chance. All the time he gave the Canaanites and the Hittites, and they didn't listen. And so God had to exact judgment and justice because he is a just God. So God gave Nineveh an opportunity to come back to him by having Jonah go and preach against their wickedness. Now, why did Jonah not want to go and preach against Nineveh? Was he scared? I mean, they were a pagan people. He was Jewish. You know, you're going into enemy territory, so to speak. Maybe he was a little scared because it was a foreign pagan country. But let's read to get an idea of why specifically Jonah did not want to go. Jonah chapter 3, verse 10. Let's start there. We'll finish up chapter 3 and go into the first couple of verses of chapter 4. Jonah 3:10. When God saw what they did, the Ninevites, how they turned from their evil way after Jonah preached to them, God relented of the disaster that he would do to them, and he did not do it. Chapter 4, verse 1. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry, and he prayed to the Lord and said, "Oh Lord, is this not what I said when I was yet in my country? That is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish, because I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and relenting from disaster." Jonah seemed to know that there was a chance, a really good chance, that if he went and he preached to Nineveh, there was a chance that they would turn from their wickedness, which of course they did. They really turned. They turned away from it, and they turned to godly things, to the Lord. Jonah definitely knew that if Nineveh repented, the Lord would do what? The Lord would be merciful, compassionate, turn away his anger. And did you catch what Jonah says? What Jonah says is he actually quotes from the Torah portion that we read, Exodus chapter 34. He quotes from the 13 attributes of God in Exodus 34. He says, "God, I knew you would do this because you're that God. That's who you are," because Jonah knew the scriptures. Jonah knew the Tanakh. He knew that God was slow to anger, compassionate, merciful to those that look at their sin condition, that turn from their sins, and that follow God. It doesn't matter if you're Jew or Gentile, the story of Jonah tells us, because God cares about the sin condition of every people. Whether or not they listen, that's another story. But he cares for all the nations and all the people. And we should understand, just because we're godly people, many of us are Jewish, many of us are not Jewish, following God for many, many, many years, just because we're godly people, just because we read our Bibles, just because we say all the right things, just because you're here at synagogue today, going like this and, you know, really, really trying to get with God, just because we call ourselves good people, it doesn't mean that we're not sinners too. It doesn't mean that there are ways and things where we fall away from God, where we turn away from God, not only just a little bit, but we like go in the opposite direction like Jonah, don't we? We just run from responsibility when God says, go and do this. Maybe it's just as simple as go and be kind to somebody or go and speak a word to someone. Maybe it's go and tell somebody that they're messing up. I don't know. Whatever God is sharing with you and showing you to do, when we don't do it, when we turn away from God, we run the risk of going farther and farther away from him. But God in his mercy, and we remember this specifically on Yom Kippur, he relents from disaster if we would turn to him. Luke chapter 5, verse 32. The key is we are all terrible sinners. Every one of us is a sinner. And Luke 5:32 says this, Yeshua, I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Now, I've always thought about that as a, you know, growing up and thinking about it. What does that mean? You know, does that mean that the righteous don't need Yeshua? Or does that mean that, you know, if I'm righteous, that I'm not going to, don't need to listen or whatever. No, what it means is everybody is a sinner. There is no such thing as righteous. It says that in the book of Romans. It says that in Isaiah. No one is righteous, the word tells us. So the whole point of this is we're all sinners. Yeshua came to call all of us to repentance. Some of us just don't think we are, right? But we're all sinners. Jonah didn't think the Ninevites were worthy of God's forgiveness. But all people are worthy of God's forgiveness. You know, many times when we get upset with people and people really, really wrong us, do we sometimes say to ourselves, they're not worthy of God's forgiveness? Okay, yeah, people are worthy of God, but they're not worthy. You see what they did to me, God? Did you see how they acted towards me, what they said to me, how they berated me, how they turned against me without any reason? It was crazy, right? You have to say to yourself sometimes, it's like the Twilight Zone. Why are people behaving like this? Why are people acting like this? Why are people going farther away from God, treating their fellow man with contempt and not with chesed, with loving kindness? But we have to understand that every person is worthy of forgiveness and mercy of God, no matter how, who, and how they have hurt people, what they have done. You may say, that person isn't worthy, they have hurt me or other people way too much. But wouldn't we be in trouble if God said that about us? Now, you've hurt too many people. I'm not gonna grant this atonement for you and this forgiveness for you, because you were pretty bad, you know. You're kind of, the bad really outweighed the good this year. We'd be in real trouble if God peered into our hearts, right? The parts of our hearts that we don't want people to see. The parts of our hearts we don't even want ourselves to see many times. But we have to know that we, as sinners, have that ability to come to God, and in His mercy, He grants us His loving kindness. Last scripture today as we close is the book of Romans, chapter 5, verse 8. Beautiful verse. But God shows His love for us, that while we were still sinners, Messiah died for us. While we were still Ninevites, while we were still Canaanites, while we were still obstinate Israel, while we were still people that should act better than we're acting and do better than we're doing, this is a season for remembering. God loves and cares for all of us. And if we would just turn, if we would just, for many of us, it's turning maybe for the first time, but for many of us, and of course, for Jewish people, it's returning to God, teshuvah, coming back to God. So even if we have been far away from God this past year, today is an opportunity, even in our hearts, just silently, quietly in your heart, to turn back to God, because we are all worthy of His forgiveness. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank You for these words, the book of Jonah. We remember, Lord, that we shouldn't be haughty and look at us, look how much we've done, look who we are, look what we've accomplished, or look how much we've done for You. But Lord, that You are a God slow to anger, compassionate, rich in mercy and grace and chesed, loving kindness. Well, we thank You for that loving kindness to us when we didn't deserve it. We thank You that You take care of us, Lord God. You provide for us, and You even give us opportunities to come before You and seek Your forgiveness and atonement. And we know it's through the blood of our Messiah, Yeshua, that it is granted to us. We thank You and praise You, God, in Yeshua's mighty name. Amen.